But the 61st chapter of Isaiah is a prayer and a message to us. Excuse me. Move on down to verse 17. Notice here it says, Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Here we're reading about creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And this is basically what Yahshua came to do, is to teach us about something a little more refined, a little more different than what we see here, but also to understand there's a spiritual meaning as well as a physical to what Yahshua was telling us. Notice the creation goes on. Be ye glad and rejoice forever that in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. This is speaking here about a Jerusalem, different Jerusalem than the one that's over there now, which is under discussion among the world leaders. This is talking about a spiritual Jerusalem. And this is what Yahshua is striving to do. Teach us about a Jerusalem, a spiritual Jerusalem that is yet to come. And we notice verse 19 says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And then it goes on to talk about building homes. So it talks about not only the spiritual realm, but also the physical. Excuse me. It talks about building houses. It talks about inhabiting houses. It talks about vineyards and so on. So what we're looking at here is the new heaven and a new earth. And the new heaven and the new earth, of course, is something we want to look at, because it talks about a whole new change that's going to take place in the new heaven and the new earth. Excuse me. Notice it says in verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. That's interesting. The lion will no longer eat, be a carnivore. It'll actually be a vegetarian. So we find this is going to change not only our life, but also the animals that will be here. We find the dust shall be on the serpents, shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Perhaps you've thought about this too, reading some of these things. You don't really grasp the full meaning of what is going on. But I want you to turn with me to the book of John, the 13th chapter. Most of us that have kept Passover recognize that this 13th chapter is one that was read and followed by foot washing. But here in this 13th chapter, Yahshua said, if you do these things, happy are you if you do them. But in continuing reading of this, I want you to move on down to verse 26. And here we have, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but Yahshua said in verse 21 that one of those attending with him would betray him. And then in verse 26, he says, it is the one to whom I will give when I have dipped it. And he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And then you find that Yahshua said, that which you're going to do, do it now. And you'll notice here that the disciples thought he wanted him to go out and buy things for the feast, for Passover, the days of unleavened bread that followed. And you'll notice in verse 30, he left at that point. I think it's important to know that Judas, as far as we understand, did not keep the Passover with the disciples. He may have kept the old Passover, which Yahshua did with his disciples, and then he instituted the new emblems for the new Passover. But notice Yahshua talks about the Son of Man is glorified and Elohim is glorified with him. And you find that from now on, what Yahshua says is said to the disciples on the way to the impalement that he's going to undergo. So what Yahshua is doing here now is talking to the disciples, giving them some last-minute instructions of things they should be doing and things they should watch for and look out for in the days ahead. For example, he says in verse 33, little children, he talks to the disciples as being little children, not understanding some of the deeper things. He says, a little while, I'll still be with you. In fact, he was with the disciples for 40 more days after his resurrection, wasn't he? And he said, you shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say the same unto you. The new commandment. It isn't really new, but he wants to have them understand that it's above and beyond what he has said before. It is something deeper. And he says a new commandment. He emphasizes the fact that you love one another, because he knew after he left the earth there would be persecution going on, and it would be necessary for the disciples to work together to do what they could and help one another. And then he says in verse 35, this will all men know, that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So now we find verse 36, Simon Peter wants to go with him. And Yahshua said, well, you can't go with me right now. He said, well, I'm going to lay down my life for you. And Yahshua said, well, you lay down your life for me. Verily, he's going to lay down his life for Simon Peter and for the rest of us in the world. And Yahshua says, the cock will not crow that you have denied me three times. In chapter 14, Yahshua is talking again to his disciples, and he is giving them a deeper understanding of the word. He's telling them things that they should remember and carry with them as he continues this walk and goes to the garden. He says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many abiding places. He's talking about a house, a family. He's talking about a mansion. And he's really talking about that he's going to prepare a place for them in the kingdom. This basically is what he's referring to. He isn't talking about a physical house. He is speaking here about the spiritual house. And he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be with me as well. But the way not right now, you don't understand and don't know, but you will later on. And then verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's a little difficult to understand. See, back in the Old Testament, people came to the Father through the sacrifices in the temple worship. But the temple was still standing when Yahshua was saying this. But he's telling them that he is the way. When he dies, he will be the way that we can go to him. And of course, he's talking here about being able to pray to Yahweh anytime, anywhere, wherever you are. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to have an offering of some kind. That's not necessary. Before Yahshua died, it was important that we know that we go through the priesthood to approach Yahweh himself. But he's saying that's no longer going to be necessary. In fact, later on, he says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. So Yahshua is expanding on his words here and trying to get the people, the brethren, the disciples, to understand the deeper meaning of what he says. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Philip wants to see the Father. He said, well, that's true. Show us the Father here in verse 8. And Yahshua said that if you've known me, you've known the Father, because I think like him, I talk like him, I look like him, and I teach like he does. And so he says, that is how you know him, through me. Believe me for the very work's sake. As you continue going through here, he even says that if one asks anything in my name, verse 13, he says that the Father will do it. And verse 14, he says, I will do it. He will do it for the Father's sake. If you love me, keep my commandments. So he's reminding the brethren, all the disciples and us, that we are to remember to keep his commandments. Now in verse 16, we have something interesting here. Verse 16, something that Elder Bob has mentioned. And again, it says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now the word there, comforter, is from the Greek word parakletos. It means something or someone that goes alongside to help. A strengthener, a helper, one to help carry the load. And that word parakletos is masculine in the gender, in the Greek word. So naturally, when it refers back to the comforter, the pronoun there is masculine, has to agree in name, gender, and case. So it really should be it, the comforter. But being it was masculine, that's why we end up with that word. And that this is one of the reasons that some of the people that believe in the Trinity being a person, this is what they say, the Holy Spirit is a he. And they use this verse to prove it. But the deeper you get into the Greek language, you find out that every noun has gender. It's masculine, feminine, or neuter. And in the Hebrew, they don't have the masculine. It's only, the neuter, I'm sorry. The Hebrew has only masculine and feminine. It doesn't have any neuter. And that is why you find that the words in the Hebrew sometimes are conflicting as well. But anyway, gaining a doctrine from the pronoun here is not really a good follow-up of Scripture, because the Holy Spirit, you see, can be poured out and so on. But anyway, in verse 17, he talks about the Spirit of truth, and that is the Holy Spirit to be with the disciples forever, that he may be with you forever and ever, even the Spirit of truth, which, it should be, the world cannot receive because it receives the Holy Spirit not. It doesn't understand. And this is the point that Yahshua is trying to get the brethren and the disciples to understand, that we are looking at the Holy Spirit being sent to the earth on the day of Pentecost, which happened that year. And later, after Yahshua had ascended, then he sent the Holy Spirit back to the earth. So Yahshua said in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, and yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you shall live also. It's a rather interesting comment he makes there. Because I live, you shall live. You've seen signs painted on rocks and doors and woodwork and so on. About, it says, the Savior died to save sinners. Well, that's not really true. Yahshua didn't say that. He didn't say, I died to save sinners. He says, I live to save sinners. You get life from me. You can't get life from a dead Savior. The Bible doesn't say that Yahshua died to save sinners. He died to pay the price for our sins. But he arose that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He goes on to say that at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. And he that has my commandments, keeps them, is one that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, because we keep his commandments. And Judas Iscariot here wants to know about this problem. Yahshua said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, the power that they're able to project and give. Notice in verse 14, He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And he says, These things I've already told you about. You already understand these things. I've told you about them before. Now, in verse 26 is an interesting verse. Here again, he says, The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name when he goes up to the heavens on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will come back to this earth. This Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. I think this verse is largely overlooked and really not understood. What Yahshua is saying here is that you are to remember and be guided by Yahweh's Spirit. That we don't have to do like the Orthodox Jews. They have things to remind them of Yahweh and Yahshua. They wear the yarmulke and the prayer shawl and so on. But Yahshua said we're to have these things in our mind. We don't have to have tzitzits to remind us of the different commandments we're given. They should be in our mind. We should remember all these things. They should be a part of our life, a part of our way of doing things, a part of our memory of how to behave and how to carry out Yahweh's word by our daily life. And this is what he says, that the Spirit will teach us all things and bring all these things to our remembrance. And he says that again over in chapter 16. But again, chapter 14 continues, and he tells the disciples that they were to obey the commandments. But I want you now to move on to chapter 17. Chapter 17 is actually the prayer that Yahshua made to the Heavenly Father. We often hear about the so-called Lord's Prayer, and it's a short one. But really, this is the prayer that Yahshua prayed to the Heavenly Father. And interestingly enough, in this prayer, he mentions those that will follow and come after him, and that will be alive and doing things in our day. Notice here in verse 1, chapter 17, he said, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son. So actually, he knows that his time for death is right around the corner. As you have given your Son power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. You notice there that Yahshua had said before that no man can come to the Father but by me, that he is the door, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now he is saying that Yahweh himself has given him certain people. And it's if Yahweh, had mentioned this before, Yahweh has a list, and he says to the Son, from this list, you can select, choose all those that you want from this list. And Yahshua does the choosing. Even he told his disciples, Have I not chosen you, and one of you is a devil? So here we find that Yahshua is the one that can give eternal life. And he says, This is life eternal, that they might know the only true mighty one, and Yahshua Messiah. And then he goes on in verse 4 and says, I have glorified the Heavenly Father on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. And then his prayer here is, he wants to be sure that he has an assurance of the resurrection. He knows he's going to die in a short time. And he says now in verse 5, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. That's kind of a tough verse for people who don't believe that Yahshua pre-existed in the Old Testament. He says right there, I had that with you before the world ever existed. In fact, he was the creator. Yahweh himself has stayed in that physical realm. He's never revealed himself in the physical, but he stays in the spirit realm. And he says here that the glory I had with you, and the glory is the kabod, the bright, shining, blinding light that he had with Yahweh before the world was. And he says, I have manifested your name into the men which you gave me. Some people say, well, Yahshua never told anybody the Father's name. Right here he says, I did. I manifested your name unto the world. And they were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. He's talking about the disciples. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever you have given me are of you. So Yahshua says, I have told the disciples, and I tell everyone, whatever I have, whatever I give, it comes from you eventually. You are the provider. You are the one. You are the architect. You are the one that has made all these things possible. I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known that surely I came out from you. So Yahshua didn't have a beginning on this earth like we do, that he had a special special source. He says, I came out from you, and they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. So here Yahshua says, I don't pray for the world. I pray for those that you have given me. Excuse me. And he said, and all mine are thine, all I have I give back to you, Father, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I pray no, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. O Holy Father, keep your own name. Keep through your own name those that you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So he says, the power of the name that you have given me, may you keep it in the people that we have together. And he says in verse 12, excuse me, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. And those that you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost but the one of perdition. Talking about the man of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves, that we would be as joyful and as fulfilled as Yahshua himself. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So right here is a prophecy saying that if you follow Yahshua, you won't be loved by the world because you won't participate in the things the world does. And you will not do the things that the world does. I pray not, he says in verse 15, that you should take them out of the world, but leave them in the world, and we'll strengthen them to overcome what's in the world. You know, all the things in the world aren't bad. Nothing wrong with watching television. Nothing wrong with going to a movie once in a while if it's a good one. The trouble is, not all of them are that good. Not all of them are that faith-building or the kind that you really think are something you want to have the rest of the world know about. Actually, sometimes the things that were in the world are not all that bad, but we do have to make a choice and select those things that are suitable and all right for a believer to participate in. So we're in the world, and verse 16 he says, we are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, he says. Sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, how do we get sanctified through Yahweh's truth? By reading the Bible, studying the Bible, sharing things with brethren of like faith, and we're set apart when we obey what the Bible says and do the things the Bible tells us to do. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set us apart by Yahweh's truth. Your word is truth. Verse 18, Yahshua says, as you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So going into the world with Yahweh's truth is something that we are expected to do. We're expected to live it, to be able to answer, give an answer within us of those who ask why we are so much wrapped up in Yahweh's word and not be ashamed of it, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Notice verse 20, he prayed for those down the road. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We find the disciples wrote part of the Bible. We find that they are the ones Yahshua is praying for. And they are the ones that we are learning more of Yahweh's truth because they wrote of their experiences and their inspiration of Yahweh. And that is how we are learning from them. That they all may be one, as you, Father, art in me and I in thee, that we may all be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And notice, he says in verse 22, the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So here we find Yahshua praying to the Father. He's talking about being one in him. And again, I want to just make this comment. I mentioned the word comforter is parakletos in the Greek, masculine. What I'm trying to say is that even though there are errors in the scripture, that if you seek the truth, it's there. And what we're trying to do is make sure we don't have any twisted concepts of the truth. But the truth is there. Salvation is there. If you seek it, study it, and be a part of it. And this is what Yahshua is telling us now, that we should remember these things, keep them in our mind. Notice in verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you did love me before the foundation of the world. Another point saying that even before the world was created, Yahweh loved Yahshua. And his final prayer, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name. Rather strange how he ends up with the Heavenly Father's name. And will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. So here we have the prayer that Yahshua gave. When he spoke these words, we find in verse 1 of 18 that he went over the brook into the garden, and there, of course, is where Judas was waiting for him. Rather interesting that Yahshua says that we are to remember these things, keep in mind the things that he has told us. And we find there that Yahshua then went on to be impaled. I want you to turn over with me to the book of Acts chapter 1. I want to make just a comment here and close this. Notice here in chapter 1, this is written by Luke, and he says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Yahshua began to do and teach, until the day he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So here again, Yahshua gave the disciples his commandments, and he also had chosen the apostles. In fact, he goes on to say that in verse 4, they were assembled together with him, and he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me. So he's talking here about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples don't really understand that. They wait for a human being to come and restore the kingdom there in verse 6, a physical kingdom to run all the infidels out of that place, make Jerusalem a place for Israel and the Jews. But you see, Yahweh has a different concept, a whole different idea. He is making a spiritual new Jerusalem, as we read back there in the book of Isaiah.